The scripture this morning is part of the sermon, so we will not be reading that as a separate entity. It is entitled, the message today is entitled, Breath of Heaven. You know, as we look around the church, both here in the sanctuary, as well as in the fellowship hall, we see banners. We see four of them back here, and we see four also in the fellowship hall. If you haven't seen that, make sure you step in there before you leave today. This is the Advent Sunday, the first one, and it has, interestingly enough, a little bit of discrepancy. If you look at the banners in the back of the church, you see faith as the first banner, faith, peace, love, and joy. Yet in the fellowship hall, the first Advent Sunday is not faith, but hope. Now, I found this discrepancy interesting, so I did a little bit of research. And what I found is that it's kind of based, dependent upon what definition is used. So let's look at those definitions. Let's look at hope, first of all, through the secular definition. Hope, they say, is an optimistic attitude that God created in every single human being, a mindset that is based on the expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances within one's life. Now, that sounds almost scriptural, doesn't it? The expectation. So we already see a very close commonality. That was the definition as a noun, but it also can stand as a verb. And as a verb, the definition includes to expect with confidence or to desire with anticipation. Now, those are the secular definitions, as I said, but let's look at Advent, and we spent quite a bit of time studying that last week. But let us now look at the scriptures, and let's look at Hebrews 11, the first verse, which is so very familiar to all of us, but it's just so beautiful. King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So do you see how closely related hope and faith are? In essence, it's not that one is right and the other one is wrong. They're both right. So let's break down the verse a little bit more. And for those of you in the educational field or business field, you hear the term unpack. So let's unpack this verse just a little bit more. Look at that first component, faith. Let's just look at faith, and let's look at it through the lens of a story, a historical account, actually, that actually occurred in the latter part of the 19th century. Here's how the story goes.
Have you ever heard of James Blondin? Anybody? Well, that's okay. I hadn't either. Until I read this story. James Blondin was a famous French tightrope walker. And it's a wonderful illustration of what true faith is. Blondin's greatest feat came on September 14th, 1860, when he became the first person to cross a tightrope stretched 11,000 feet, a little over a quarter of a mile, across the mighty Niagara Falls. From both Canada and America, people came to watch this great feat. He walked across. He is 160 feet above the falls. And each time he walked across, he did a different daring feat. Once he was in a sack, crossed over in a sack. Another time he was on stilts. Another time on a bicycle. Another time in the dark. And even blindfolded. One time he even carried a stove and made an omelet in the middle of his tightrope walk. Imagine that, an omelet. I know I'd been scrambled if I had been up there. A large crowd gathered, and there was a buzz of excitement which ran along both sides of the riverbank. You could hear the oohs and the ahs as Blondin carefully walked across one dangerous step after another. He even pushed a wheelbarrow with a bag of potatoes in it. Then at one point, he asked for the participation of a volunteer. Upon reaching the other side, the crowd's applause was louder than the roar of the mighty falls. But Blondin suddenly stopped and he addressed his audience. "Do you believe that I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" he asked. The crowd enthusiastically yelled, "Yes, you are the greatest tightrope walker there ever was in the world. We believe." "Okay," said Blondin. "Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" As far as the Blondin story goes, no one took him up on his offer.
Now, this unique story gives, I think, a very interesting illustration of what faith actually is. And I want us to focus not on the tightrope walker, but on all of the spectators that watched. The crowd watched these feats. The crowd believed. But their actions proved that although they believed and they marveled at what they saw, they didn't necessarily want to place their faith in the same place the tightrope walker did. So the illustration begs the question, do we participate in our faith, or are we more like spectators who marvel at what God is doing in other people's lives and doing in the world? Well, I have to say, Paul and I, as your co-pastors, are thrilled with what we see as the acts of faith that we have witnessed in you and through you. For example, you didn't say, "Well, let's hope Paul and Cheryl can do something with Advent." No, you jumped in and you helped. You provided ideas. You volunteered to take parts. You spent hours decorating, preparing for the hanging of the greens, the Christmas walk, the choir, the handbell choir, the puppet play, and other special events and touches. The outside, the inside, it took all of you. Furthermore, you have spread the message of hope, bringing friends and family members here to church to enjoy the spirit of Christmas, which is God Himself. You speak in terms of the future rather than reflections of the past. You place your hope in God, who sees your beauty, who heals your wounds, and who provides strength to you for each upcoming day. Paul and I see how you call upon one another in times of need. We see your gifts of love extended also to ministries outside of the church. You know, it takes a strong love to do that. It takes a strong faith to do that. It takes love wrapped up in a blanket called courage.
Now let's look at hope, the second key word that's found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. The inspirational magazine guidepost displays this message: stories of hope bring to life the ways in which people support each other. Hopeful stories are windows into the wonderful possibilities that life has to offer. What we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is that if faith is the pillar of our belief, then hope is the primary element. After all, the scripture states, things hoped for. because not all is seen. Hope is the expectation of what is coming. We must trust in what is not seen, as is God. At the beginning of this Advent season, the season of expectation of what is to come, let's take a look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, before the birth of her son. Mary goes through a roller coaster ride of emotions. In Luke, we hear her praise God. It is called Mary's Song, Magnifica, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 of the New Testament version.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever."
That is the exultant Mary. The exultant Mary who is beginning to realize all that God is doing with her, for her, and through her. Not just for herself, but for generations upon generations. Sometimes I think we forget that. We see our lives as being limited, but it's not. Every act of goodness that you do will ring generation from generation. You never know how the person in front of you, the person behind you, the person seated beside you is going to respond, reflect, echo, and pattern themselves after you. However, Mary had to have had another side to her, because she was human after all. A side that wasn't so ecstatic. And I have to think about that long donkey ride to Bethlehem, okay? Women, I could not have been comfortable. And I know what you men will say, well, at least she got to ride the donkey. Joseph had to walk, right? Yeah, but we women will respond, yes, but she was pregnant and she was expecting. No ride anywhere is going to be comfortable at that time, right? So we see that Mary had to have experienced this roller coaster of emotions. And at times, because she is so quiet through the scripture, we find that she must have been a bit timid, a bit shy, and at times a bit uncertain. She was definitely youthful. And because of her youth, possibly she was afraid. Afraid that she wasn't enough. That she wasn't enough to carry out the task before her. She may have questioned her strength. She may have asked herself, what if I can't do this? What if I fail? How will I be judged? Who's going to stand beside me if this all goes wrong? Mary's human insecurities are reflected in a beautiful, beautiful Christmas song written by Amy Grant called Breath of Heaven. And this is where God is referred to as that breath from heaven. These are the words, and then we will watch it. Mary sings, "I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside. And I wonder what I've done, Holy Father, that you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in silent prayer. I am frightened by the load that I bear. in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, O breath of heaven. Do you wonder, breath of heaven, do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all that I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me to be strong. Help me to be. Help me. Oh, breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you alone are holy.
Help me.
we see the mighty task that Mary had, as well as Joseph. What task has God called you to do? What is God calling you to bear up under? How is God calling you to reconfigure in yourself or for yourself? We have much to learn of Mary in her journey to Bethlehem and her task as mother to Jesus. We recognize that the journey is not easy. We recognize that the journey may take unexpected twists and turns. We found that out this past week, of how things can all of a sudden change before your very eyes. And we recognize that the journey that we are on requires faith, hope, and love. We recognize that we are worthy children of God, that He looks after us, that we may at times need to lean on Him and not on our earthly family. We recognize that through faith there is hope, hope of new beginnings, of fresh starts.
We recognize that God forgives our faults and is forever working on us to improve ourselves. We recognize that we are created by Him, yet as long as we live, we can honestly say, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Furthermore, we recognize that God's plan or purpose for our life and for our church is to be sought out and to be worked toward. And we will be looking forward to that in the new year. In a final synopsis, faith and hope stand hand in glove. As we anticipate the reliving of the birth of Christ, allowing God to rebirth Himself in our lives, let us know that hope is like glowing embers that simply require a simple breath, the breath of heaven, to ignite it into flames.